Hey, what's up? It's me, Dave Stone, former co-host of the Boogie Monster podcast. From 2016 to 2023, myself and my good buddy Kyle Kinane, we'd get together each week, ramble on about ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, other mysteries of the universe. At least that was our initial intentions. But if you've listened before, you know that it usually devolved into disjointed rants about vans and fried chicken. During that time, we also had a Patreon page. We would offer up exclusive bonus episodes to our patrons, usually in the form of Q&A sessions. And even though the Boogie Monster is currently on an indefinite hiatus, we're offering up those old bonus episodes to the general population so that everyone can enjoy our old nonsense. Hopefully, someday soon, we'll dust off our microphones and resurrect the Boogie Monster. But until then, please enjoy this blast from the past from your old pals, Kyle and Dave. Thanks for listening.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
We're letting it rip.
Let it rip, dude. Dude, do you ever just rip it?
Rip it, flip it, rub it down. Who is that? Who says that?
That's Belle Biv DeVoe.
Yeah.
Smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. The girlie's going to do me.
Look who knows her BBD.
Oh, yeah, man. That was eighth grade.
Kids in the Hall sketch, Belle Biv DeVoe.
I remember our hangout in middle school was the local bowling alley. And the bowling alley had a jukebox. And I remember my buddy's dad serviced the jukebox. And I remember one day he's like, got too many complaints. We got to take out Do Me from Belle Biv DeVoe. No more. We're like, man, you're taking out Do Me? He's like, yeah, too many complaints. It's too sexually suggestive.
Remember when do was the verb
Oh, I totally did her. I'm gonna go do her.
That was a great. Or like, did you guys do it?
Do it.
Are you gonna do it? Like that? Be like, they're gonna do it. You guys are gonna do it.
Oh man, they totally did it. You and Christy do it yet? Did I tell you this?
It's such a wholesome thing.
I think I told you this off the air one time, but like in seventh grade is when, man, in sixth grade I was just innocent and prepubescent and didn't know anything. And then in seventh grade I transitioned to middle school. In Georgia, middle school was seventh and eighth, where – you know, you got kids from multiple elementary schools coming in together. And, man, seventh grade was just the year that everything changed.
Yeah.
Like, just guys started fingering people and just puberty. And
yeah, man. Junior high.
That was the goal, like, early on was, like, not necessarily to have sex. Because I was still – even though I mentioned this, I had sex at 15. But I was still, like, pregnancy was such a, like, ooh, I got to be careful. Yeah. But so the goal was fingering. How long till I get to finger this
and
girl?
And also, unpleasant for both parties.
Yeah. And also, back then, no idea what a clitoris was.
No, you didn't know what you were doing. And I'm sure it was horrible for the woman to just
take a knuckle to the cooch.
Clumsy fingers. Trying to find something that fell between the seat of the car.
But in seventh grade, it's the first time, like, one of my buddies, I had a buddy who had sex in seventh grade, and I believed him. Like, it wasn't like just some, you know, running his mouth. You could tell, like, nah, Mark and Cassie did it. Yeah.
They did it.
But then the first time I ever heard the phrase, and sorry to be crass, but the first time I heard the phrase, piece of pussy.
Yeah, that.
Like, I took it literal, and I thought, like you could just remove it, like as a Jenga, like her vagina was just a Jenga game, and that, like a guy just took a piece of pussy from her.
Oh God!
And I really thought that.
That one, like that stuff. Still, even when people would talk that way, and I'm not trying to like white knight or anything, I was always just like,
yeah.
But I didn't understand that it was just a fray, a figure of speech. I thought, like, well, what did you do with the piece of pussy?
Yeah.
Did you put it in the to-go box and take it home?
Get a nice piece of ass. Get a nice blah, blah.
No, yeah, I didn't quite understand things. But, since we're on the topic, got my first HJ when I was 13.
That's
from a 12-year-old in her mom's van while mom was driving said van. Went to Whitewater in Marietta, Georgia, water park. We were coming home from Whitewater, and
You finished it, or she just touched it for a while?
As soon as she touched it, I finished it. It was just immediate. But for some reason, her mom would let us recline that back row of seats and just kind of have a little slumber party in the back. And so she couldn't see what we were doing down there. And girl grabbed my dong, and immediately my dong threw up.
Just broke it. She mm-hmm. just broke it off. Yep. She got a piece of dick.
Mm-hmm.
She got herself a piece of dick. This isn't what you paid for. This isn't what the Patreons paid to hear.
Sorry.
Parted with their money. It really get some Q's aid. Oh, sorry. Well, just to let you know, this is a June Q&A special uh-huh. episode. We are continuing on from all the questions that were asked in the May episode
yes.
because scheduling issues, and we got plenty of questions, so sorry that we did not solicit questions for this month, but it's the ones that were still submitted last month. We'll try to get as many as we can. If not, please keep submitting, and I'm sorry if we don't get to them, but please feel free to just shout something in there,
mm-hmm.
and we try to do it. And let's start off with Spencer Williams. Yes, Dave, what if Bigfoot did not like your famous chili? Alternatively, what if Bigfoot stole your chili recipe and opened up a food truck with Mothman selling it? I don't know why Moth, probably because Bigfoot wouldn't fit in the food truck. Would your love of them stop you from filing a lawsuit?
No, I would be flattered. I'd be flattered that Bigfoot wants to sell my chili.
What if that's the most amazing thing, though? Is people are always like, oh, Bigfoot. Well, we knew he was real, but we didn't know. This chili's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's unreal about Bigfoot selling his chili? The chili. That's something. I didn't think that flavor existed.
My chili's fucking good, dude.
Just be called Dave's Bigfoot Chili.
Okay. It's food truck, man. Let's. Do you want to invest? You be a silent partner?
Yeah, I'm silent.
I do want a food truck, man. I'm still going to make that happen one day. It's always been my backup if comedy fizzles out. But even if comedy doesn't fizzle out, I'm going to have a side project.
A restaurant.
Food truck, I think, is easier as far as, brick and mortar is tough. It's a lot more money, a lot more, but food truck, just.
You understand a vehicle as a domicile.
Mm-hmm.
Why not a business?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Have my stew crew.
Stew crew.
Sell chili. I'm going to sell jerk chicken chili, and I'm going to sell gumbo. Boom, boom, boom. Pick your poison.
Chili truck.
Mm-hmm. Chili truck.
What's the name? You got to have a pun.
I know. I hate wordplay, though.
Let's see.
Sell some fried cornbread. But seriously, man, Texas chili, jerk chicken chili, and gumbo.
Somebody asked last month about jokes that don't work that you like doing. Mine's like, Meals on Wheels went out of, like, they stopped funding for Meals on Wheels. I'm like, there's too many food trucks anyway. Where I'd just be like, Meals on Wheels, the original food truck.
Yeah, there you go.
What's the chili? I mean, chili would go with cold, but I don't know, a pun. First, send them out. Send out the puns for Dave's food truck.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Honcho, 6669, 666, whatever, says, hey, idiot, what's your go-to burger setup? Also, there's three Waffle Houses down here in Tucson. Tons of weird shit going down in the Saguaro National Park. Excuse me. I love Tucson.
I'm trying to.
I hate Waffle House, but I love Tucson.
Fuck you.
We've gone over this.
God damn it.
You could, yeah. Waffle House can eat
You
my
just
ass.
Haven't had a good experience.
Nobody has. It's Waffle House.
I have. Waffle House is
the second worst thing that happened to those people who got shot at Waffle House was that they got shot at Waffle House. The first worst thing was that they ate at Waffle House.
God damn it, you are so wrong. Waffle House is a goddamn national treasure. I love everything about it.
Can I make fun of that shooting? Because there was another one today, so we already got some distance on the Waffle House shooting.
Seriously, not
somebody ate at Waffle House, like, ugh, and it needed this like a bullet in the head.
Like, not to get all whatever, but, like, I'm unaffected now because it happens so much.
I'm going to openly make mock all shooting. You know what? Stop publicizing. Like, because people see that it's this story.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's a sad approach to take, but what if you didn't publicize mass shootings? What if you didn't, instead of outrage, what if we just stopped giving it any attention whatsoever and then maybe people... Because the walking, it seems like people are doing it because they know it's going to be a statement.
Well, it's the same way.
I'm talking out of my ass right now.
It's the same way that during a baseball game or football game, when someone runs out onto the field, they don't show it because they don't want to encourage that behavior. They'll say, oh, some guy's loose out on the field, but the camera won't show it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They specifically avoid happening?
Yeah, you will never see that. They did it back in the 70s and 80s or whatever, but now...
Because then everybody will do it.
Yeah, because everybody will do it. And they're like, I got on TV. Now they don't show it because they're like, all right, you fucking idiot. If you're going to run out on the field, you're still not going to get on TV, so please don't do it.
Hmm. I mean, I agree with the not posting the shooter's name or information about him because that's kind of the same, but... Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, burger setup. Sure,
I love burger setup. What's your preferred burger?
I mean, fast food burgers aside, if I'm just like restaurant burger, God damn it, bacon, cheese, and sauteed mushrooms. It's just a classic. You know, I like changing it up once in a while. Mm-hmm. But bacon, cheese, sauteed mushrooms, and then anything that comes with it. When they give you like all the lettuce and tomatoes and onions, that absolutely goes on there. Mm-hmm. Everything you get put on a plate to go on top of a burger, I put it all on there.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, nothing. No big surprising weirdness. I've had it where I've had it with a pineapple and a slice of ham on it. That's good. Sometimes a big garbage burger with a fried egg on it. Ooh. A breakfast burger. Love a good breakfast burger, too.
Yeah, fried egg on a burger.
Yeah, fried egg and bacon and cheese.
Sometimes less is more. Sometimes I like... let me give a shout-out to my buddies at the Albert in Atlanta, where I used to work. Mm-hmm. My buddy Paul Galois runs that kitchen over there. And they have the Diner Burger.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just it's a double burger, two thin patties, but I think it equals about a quarter pound, so two 1/8 pound patties, and it's just American cheese, red onions, and mustard, yellow mustard.
I think we had that
just
one over there.
Boom, boom, boom. Simple. No lettuce, tomato. I like all that stuff, but sometimes too much of that stuff, it becomes a logistical issue where it's sliding off and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I got a fork and knife this thing like a goddamn fanciful.
Just a good, simple, fresh bakery-style bun.
Yeah.
Good meat. And then American cheese, yellow mustard, red onion.
Great. I'm not trying to, like, toot horns here. But Rachel made burgers. I don't know what she got that was like 50-50 of like ground chuck and then sirloin. Whatever, and mixed it with the chopped onions and made it in a pan with a lid over it. So it kind of would steam it and cook. One of the best burgers I've ever eaten. Wow. And I was telling him, like, we got to do that again. And she's like, I don't even know if I could remember. It was just one of those things where, like, I'm sure I don't cook, but I'm sure you have. Like, you know what you're doing. But then sometimes, like, I know how to kind of do this. And you make it like, oh, shit. I should have remembered exactly what I did because this is the best thing. That burger was so goddamn good. Just fresh vegetables that you chop up, the tomatoes and onions that you chop up.
Thin sliced tomatoes, thin sliced lettuce, like shredded lettuce.
Yeah. Ooh. So goddamn good.
Now, I like some mayo on a burger, too.
Easy mayo.
Yeah.
That's the problem with fast food places now. We went to a Wendy's when we were on that run. Slopped it up.
Yeah.
They slop it up with the ketchup and mayo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Is it still easier to do that than have a dispenser? Like, I'm thinking it's like an economy. I always think it's like a money thing.
Well, a lot of times they have a gun. Just
Yeah, but is it easier to do that so that people aren't trying to assemble? I love a Fuddruckers where you got to dole out all your own hot cheese, like a hot nacho cheese on a burger.
Yeah, yeah.
Those now good I'm just pickles. Sliding off of my whole go-to. You give me an open topping bar for a burger, I'll put everything on a burger.
Yeah.
I love In-N-Out. If you want to try the healthier tip, fat burgers, veggie burgers are fucking great.
Really?
Yeah.
Never been overly impressed with fat burger.
You talk about the shredded lettuce and all the good toppings on it, and the and their veggie burgers. Well, me, I gotta stay off the meat for right now.
The Shake Shack's a solid burger.
I still haven't gotten over to Shake.
You haven't? Have you not ever?
No, because every time I'm in town, I'm trying to be vegetarian healthy when I'm here because it's easier to eat good stuff that doesn't have meat in it.
It's good,
but then I know the Shake Shack's right down the street.
It's real good. Now I'll tell you another burger I like that people shit on around here, but I think Umami Burger. Yes, it's overpriced, and yes, it's a little hipstery.
It slipped, man. But the quality slipped.
Really?
Yeah. I think I went to it. I was like, oh.
Back in the day when I first moved here, it was pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
I meant to ask you, by the way, is Rachel a good cook?
Yeah. Yeah.
She knows what she's doing.
Yeah. She has the, you know, if it's time to follow a recipe, she does. I don't have the patience to follow a recipe. I was bad at building models. I'm like, nah, I'm sure the paint's dry enough. No, it's never dry enough. It's either dry or it's not dry.
Yeah.
And then everything I built model just had fingerprints. So here's my F-16. That the camouflage pattern is my thumbprints. And the same thing when I would try and cook the recipe. I told you before, like, cook at 400 degrees for an hour. I'm like, I'll cook it at 800 degrees for a half hour.
That's not how it works.
I know, but mathematically in my head, like, and I'm like, oh, that's good enough, or I'll try and be a smart ass and have, like, I'm going to have, like, all things on all the burners, make it all at once, and I just fuck it up. And Rachel's methodical, and she knows, and she has good instincts as far as, like, this spice and a little bit of this, and not afraid to, you know, mess around. Yeah, she knows what she's doing.
Man, well,
when she's at, like, when I'm just as the assistant, and it's like, chop that up, do this over here, I can handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, for me, freestyling, going full improv? No, I'm terrible, but I can assist, and she's great.
My girl has a lot of great qualities. Cooking is not one of them. She sucks. She tries sometimes, but she just you know how, like,
all the women in your life are bad cooks.
Yeah, yeah. What is that? But you know how, like, in school, you know, some people are just good at math, and some people are good at this, and she doesn't have the aptitude for it. She fucking cooked a frozen pizza with a cardboard on the bottom. She fucking. She ate 6 week old bacon one time. She just doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
Is she in shape or just ill?
No, she's in shape. Maybe she'd be dead if it weren't for me. I don't know how she survived all these years prior to our relationship, but and just sucks at the munchies. Like, here's the thing too. Like I get the munchies, but like. It's a lifestyle, all right?
Yeah.
She's a healthy person and a fit person, so when she does get the munchies, she just panics.
Carrots and hummus,
and
baby.
She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing.
What's
just
a good healthy snack, Dave?
I mean, yeah, carrots and hummus is a good healthy snack. If we're doing keto, I told you before, one of my favorite guilty pleasures in keto is pork rinds dipped in sour cream with a shake of hot sauce on top. No carbs in that shit. So
no carbs, no nutrients either. Nothing about that's good.
But the old flavor explosion, man. You get that salty and creamy and crunchy. But yeah, man, bless her heart, Katie just has no fucking idea what she's doing. I'm like, how have you survived?
Maybe that's you know, that'll be your good influence in the house.
Yeah.
You know, now she's welcomed you into her home, and you can provide the meals there.
When I leave for tour now, I have to clean out the fridge. Because, like, I told her last time I was going on tour, I said, hey, by the way, don't eat that bacon. That bacon's already been in there for 3 weeks. Don't eat that. 3 weeks later, she goes, was that the same bacon? Because I just ate it. And I'm like, you're about to get ill. You're going to have terrible food poisoning. And by some miracle, she didn't. But I was like, you're about to go on a wild ride.
Yeah.
I thought for sure she's going to get violently ill. But she ate 6 week old bacon.
You're going to make weight for that boxing match quick.
But yeah, so, yeah, you know, that's what relationships are all about. We each bring our attributes to the table. Mm-hmm. So.
On the food tip, Jake Williams wants to know, he says, Dave, I really want to make your chili recipe, but I'm a recovering alcoholic. Is there anything I can substitute to get a close approximation for the booze ingredients? What booze is in your chili?
I put bourbon, and I put beer. Yeah, but Budweiser and Jim Beam. You could just leave them both out. I mean, that's just a little cherry on top for those. It's not going to take away if you don't have it. You know?
Is there a non-alcoholic whiskey?
I don't think so. It's a great question, though, because there is non-alcoholic beer. Know?
Yeah, but if you're trying to like...
non-alcoholic whiskey, that'd just be Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah, yeah. Just a bitter syrup.
But yeah, just leave the booze out. And yeah, it's really not going to affect too much. I mean, I put it in there for a reason. The bourbon adds a little oakiness, a little smoky wood vibe to it. The beer, I just like that faint hint of Budweiser that you sometimes get. But yeah.
My grandpa. Matthew Graham asks, Kyle and Dave, what singular life event most influenced you into becoming the man you are today?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Heavy one.
The man I am today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this isn't an incredibly original answer, but I gotta give it to my pops. My dad's just a good dude.
Yeah.
My dad raised me right. Taught me respect for women, taught me how to be accountable for your own shit, how to just be an overall good dude. So I gotta give my hats off to my pops. He's a solid dude.
Okay, well, mine's not gonna be that deep. I'm trying to think of singular life event. excuse me for the throat clearing. I'm drinking black coffee because of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He picked me up from the airport once, not long after I moved to LA. And I didn't get taught. I didn't get taught a lot of stuff by my dad. I didn't get the, teach you how to shave, teach you how to do this, teach you how that. I didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
But he picked me up from the airport and, it was already a weird thing. Like, I'm moving to California to become an entertainment person. I was like, fucking, all right. Well, this one's doing whatever it's doing. And we went to breakfast early in the morning. And I was putting, like, cream and sugar in my coffee. And my dad just looked at me. He's like, why don't you put a dress on it? Did I tell that story before?
Yeah.
Well, that one.
I didn't want to stop you.
That's why I drink black coffee now. But I remember... this more informs the philosophy that I go by. I remember I had a temp job one summer, and I was just well into my 20s when you should add your shit together. I didn't. I was working a temp job. My sister got temp jobs at this insurance company that had a giant warehouse of files. And it was before everything got digitized and put in a computer, so everybody's like little insurance files. And you would just go run and get files for the insurance people. Like, they would be at a desk. And they were all people that just kind of didn't have much going on. So they got that job, and they kind of were moving up slowly. Just be an office person. They're going to make some money, and that's going to be their job for life if they don't go back to college or whatever. So is everybody kind of not doing well with life? Mm-hmm. Just kind of like, oh, shit. I guess world needs these people to do these jobs, and I guess we're those people. But I just remember freaking out. Just being like, man, how does that even add up? 5 days we got to be here? You only get 2 days for yourself? 5 days?
Yeah.
And only 2 days for yourself? And then a third of your life is sleeping? A third of your life is work? A third of your life is sleeping? And you only get one third of your own life? I'm like, that's bullshit math.
Yeah,
I agree. Remember saying it as a joke to the people working with them. Just like, what are you doing this week? And they're like, I don't know. Like, you got to do something this weekend. You only get 2 days. We're getting our lives stolen from us just being a clown in the office. But
it's
like,
true, though.
But I look like, yeah, I remember being like, if I can get to a point where I don't have to wake up for an alarm clock. Or who was I talking to you the other day about just, or maybe it was us talking about in the car for the trip. Like, the fact that I could look at tomorrow like with excitement. Oh, man, what am I doing tomorrow? Not what do I have to do tomorrow, but like, what am I going to do tomorrow?
Yeah.
And excited about that. If you can get to that point in your life. And I think it was working these shitty jobs and realized, like, if I didn't get my shit together or at least swing for the fucking fences with comedy, I was going to be somebody that just has a job that nobody wants the job, but you convince yourself you like your job. Mm-hmm. You work in an office, you can get along with your coworkers, and so you convince yourself that you're happy because you have to be because you don't have another option.
Mm-hmm.
So I think working those jobs was like, oh, man. So I think, yeah, I think... that day when I was making a joke about five for them, two for us, trying to rally people, just being silly in an office. Like, actually, that one kind of...
It's so true, though. And I get that, you know, not everybody can have the lifestyle we have. And, you know, hats off to
we
people
We might
that,
not have this lifestyle for long. So I'm enjoying it while I have.
Yeah. And hats off to the people that, that punch a clock and work a 40, 50-hour week. And, you know, but that just... I just... It ain't for me, you know?
I was just bad. I was bad at it. That was my thing. I wouldn't have advanced in there to even be good. I would have just been, making paycheck to paycheck.
We used to have that joke. What was that joke about? Like, oh, I don't have to do anything tomorrow. Or,
oh, yeah. Like, tragedies like disguised as blessings.
Yeah. Like, you could die and nobody would know.
Yeah, so it's like, what do you got going on tomorrow? I'm like, man, I don't have to wake up for anything. And realizing that isn't something you should celebrate.
But, and we've talked about this before, too. And I think the trade-off, you know, and just so we know, like, I'm not shitting on people who do have the classic 40-hour week and wife and kids and house and all that. Their trade-off that you and I do not have is family, you know. I get working 50 hours a week, doing something you don't really necessarily like, but you know you got to. But then you get to go home, and you got your kids, and you got all that, and that's fine. So I think, you know, that's their version of whatever. Yeah. We don't have that, but we have freedom and free time and all that.
Yeah, it's not one's better than the other.
Yeah,
I don't have the stability of like, oh, let me go into my home that I own. And here's my yard, and I also have the skills to build a shed in my yard and watch my kids grow up. We've traded all that for other stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's not one's better than the other.
And that's rad, too. Like, trust me, I would love to have a house with a backyard and, you know, all that. But that's just...
And then if you do get it in this line of work, you got to be gone away from it even more to pay for it.
Yeah. Even if you achieve that, you got to be gone all the time. So, yeah, it's a trade-off. So, to each his own.
I like that. You know what? I realize, you know, some people get some cryptic questions and everything, but this is a question that, like, we get a little personal on here. And so we can... I always like trying to mix it up. Like, let's get a spooky one in there. Mm-hmm. But, like, we can just go for one. You got one in there you want to answer? You got one?
I'm just kind of going down the list in order here. Jack Eisenhuth. Eisenhuth? Eisenhuth. You guys have a specific place you go to do comedy. I know the other comedians frequent the Comedy Store in L.A. Wonder if you guys have a spot you hang out at. No, and that is, I will say, that is my one thing. And you know, it might be my own fault, but I don't have a home club. I used to have a home club in Atlanta. Had a couple of home spots in Atlanta. The Star Bar every Monday was kind of my home. Relapse Theater was my home. I don't have a home here. And I think that's just because... There's so much here that you can't, that you can spread yourself out, you know.
To hang out at one place, I think, is limiting how you can approach comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get a hive mentality when you hang out at one place.
True.
Like, oh, that guy makes the other comics here laugh. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my influence here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, go everywhere and see how every group of people at that show makes people laugh. You know, Meltdown was good for that. A lot of people would just hang around Meltdown. But
that was
that's the insider alternative scene about who would work there. Comedy Store's got its own brand of comedy, kind of. You know, it does not say that the only thing that works there. But I don't hang out. I'll go to a show. I'll try and book spots every night of the week wherever somebody's going to have me. Or not every night of the week, but, you know, and I'll just do a show pretty almost wherever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to go cross a fucking 405 on them. But I'll go almost everywhere within a 4-mile radius of my home. I'm not going to Santa Monica for shit. Laziness.
I do like the West Side Comedy Theater. I love that spot.
Yeah.
But it'd be cool if it was such closer. A pain in the ass to get over there.
It'd be cool if it wasn't on the West Side. But yeah, when it's a night off of comedy, I'm not going to go hang out.
Yeah,
once in a great while.
I don't go to many shows that I'm not on.
Yeah,
and that's probably not good. You know, I don't know.
Well, it depends on how often you're out. You
yeah.
know? Anyway, there's. But I'm trying to find a place to hang out in L.A. Like, there's comedy shows fucking everywhere.
I do have my shows. There was a few that I would go to when I wouldn't. when I wasn't on the show. And rest in peace. Man, I tell you, I loved Babe Island at Bigfoot Lodge.
Yeah.
James Fritz and Josh Androsky.
Yeah, that was a good bar to hang out at.
I would go to that one when I wasn't even on the show.
Yeah.
I'll go to our buddy Cookie's show. I'll go to Big Money just to hang out.
Yeah, Virgil's a good spot. Mm-hmm. If you are nearby the Virgil, that would be a hangout spot. When I was closer, you could hit all those shows in Los Feliz. You know, mm-hmm. Monday night you'd hit the Public House, mm-hmm. worst bar in L.A., but the show was fun enough to hang out at. Mm-hmm. They got Best Fish Taco. Then you could cruise down to the open mic that was above the Chinese restaurant there.
China Palace.
Yeah, China Palace, which is no longer. Everything's changing over in Los Feliz. Mm-hmm. But there's a good spot. You can go like Maloesh, just like in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But now I don't have anything close by in the hood here.
Yeah.
I'm right by a UCB theater. Sometimes, you know, Rachel, I go see a show there. But Juan the Baker, what do you guys think of hypnosis mind control? Is that stuff for real? Is it just possible one-on-one, or do you buy the low-grade, widespread, sheeple sort of mind control? Have you ever... hypnotists will come through comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever watched a hypnotist act?
I have.
And it's like, it's... Something's working.
Something's working. I never bought it. I was like, you can't hypnotize me.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but then I watch people that are like the same attitude, and then they're
the willingness to go along with it. And I remember watching that once, and you want to think it's that mix between believing in weird supernatural stuff, but also being a conspiracy theorist. Like, well, no, the guy has plants in the audience. Like, but I want to believe that it's mm-hmm. there. So as far as mind control, I mean, that was MK Ultra. That mm-hmm. was the government trying to figure out. I think. Look at cults. Somebody else had a cult question in here. Look at cults. You can brainwash people. Mm-hmm. You absolutely can brainwash. That happens just in relationships.
Yeah.
You can brainwash somebody and
happens
get them.
At work.
Yeah, yeah. But workplace, yeah, pyramid schemes. You get people so excited to just sell this. Like, they believe in it with their, like a religion. It's not just to sell product. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all very real. Yeah. The one-on-one stuff, just the stuff that people use to quit smoking. If you want to quit smoking and you're close to being able to do it, and somebody hypnotizes you, or it's worked for people.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to have a certain mindset, much like the sensitivity to see maybe ghosts or something, that some people might have that sixth sense that they can perceive, you know, see those things, mm-hmm. and other people can't. I think. Some people can be hypnotized easier than others.
Yeah.
And some people are sociopaths that are very charismatic and can brainwash people. So, yeah, that's my answer to that.
Jamie Bales asks, you asked us listeners about our favorite moments of the show so far. Curious, what are your favorite moments? Is there one particular episode that you're more proud of than others? That's a good question. And having to go back, I compiled that best of a few weeks ago, and boy, did I get sick of hearing our voices.
I just got back from Australia, and I was trying to run off some of the poison, and I was laughing out loud trying to take a jog around the lake.
I listened to way too much Boogie Monster for about a week and a half.
Yeah, man.
Just off the top of my head, the thing that's made me laugh the hardest to where I thought I was about to vomit was... when I realized, oh shit, this episode comes out on Valentine's Day.
Oh,
and
man.
Just out of the holster, you went, well, sexy, sexy, fuck, fuck. I don't know why. On paper, that's not a hilarious statement, but the way, the timing of it and the delivery of it, I thought I had to get up and walk across your apartment. Because I thought I was going to throw up from laughing so hard.
We were being real stupid.
That comes to mind. I really enjoyed when we were talking about Rene Rondelier, and you called him a gargantuan wolf-faced nightmare.
Yeah, there was the drunk ones where, like, really, no concern for the composition, the sound composition.
But as far as a topic, I really... I enjoyed time travel, and I enjoyed Middle Earth, Inner Earth, Hollow Earth.
Hollow Earth.
I enjoyed those topics.
Skinwalker still, for me, is the one that Everything about Skinwalker Ranch and Robert Bigelow and his tie-ins with space travel and Elon Musk, like, that's the stuff we're learning about. Like, man, somebody knows something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're all, why would you buy that specific location?
Yeah.
You know, this weird guy that made millions on hotels, but also has created functional space pods. That's the kind of stuff. Like, oh, yeah, you know, I should read up on this for the podcast. I'm like, oh, shit, something's going on. So, yeah, Skinwalker still for me is just, and the fact that people were, like, the stories were nonchalant, like, oh, yeah, we saw one. Like, it wasn't like you could tell a hunter wants to come up with a story about Bigfoot or, oh, I saw a UFO or a ghost, and you know it's sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. All the Skinwalkers are like, yeah, three of us, we're just, you know, it's Christmas, so we're back in the reservation. There's a wolf just standing in the window looking at us. And there's my grandmother later going, yeah, you know, that wolf on Crow was me. I'm like, just the nonchalant way where it wasn't anybody trying to wow you or win you over or get attention. Like, that made it very real for me, the matter-of-factness of it.
Yeah.
All right.
JC Special Cases asked, do either of you guys manscape? Or is it all natural? Well, that's a bit personal. You gotta do a little maintenance. You know, it's like having a, it's like being a homeowner. You know, you don't want to be the one house on the block with the shitty yard.
Trim the grass if you want the tree to look bigger. That's just basic design. That's just basic design technique.
I just feel like it's, you know, it's a courtesy.
If you want somebody special to pay, if you want somebody special to pay attention to that area, take care of that area.
Although the other way around, I've never given a shit. I'll get down there and fucking root it around regardless.
But again,
I don't like the not to be too crass. I don't like the completely clean shaven. It's too much like a little kid, you know, and that's not my taste.
It's too.
I don't. You know what I'm talking about.
I know.
Who's, go down there and root around with.
I know who's attached to it, so I don't. Not
well, that's true too,
kid,
I guess.
Thing.
But it just, yeah, just. I need a reminder that you're that you're legit.
Well, the rest of the body should be the reminder.
That's true.
The fact that you know who it is should be the reminder. Anyway, steer away from that.
Yeah. Oh, Tim Parham, what's your go-to mixed drink? What's your go? I don't know that. I don't know the answer for you. Let me guess.
If it's a gout thing, I was just doing tequila soda.
But health issues aside, if you just total preference, what's your mixed drink?
I don't drink. You know what? If it's I'm like having a fun drink, I love a margarita.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love a margarita too, but it's so sweet that it hurts my teeth after.
You got to get it. You got to get it a well-made margarita. Mm-hmm. Or you get one like a smoky margarita where they make it with mezcal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I'm getting a mixed drink, I'm getting a like big fun like Mai Tai or something.
I like
the
big silly fruity drinks.
Yeah, like if I, otherwise like cocktails like a short glass drink, I'll get a scotch or a whiskey on the rocks or something, or the tequila soda, because I was trying to, you know, drink my clear liquors.
I'm a bourbon and Coke.
Yeah.
I like something about the way the Coke mixes with the bourbon or the whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
For being specific, Jim Beam Black. I like Jim Beam Black and Coke. That's my jam.
Once in a while, I'll do a Greyhound.
Which one's that?
Vodka and grapefruit juice.
Okay, right. Well, I tell you what else I love. My wild card is, am I pronouncing this right? Madras? I love, without even the alcohol, I love equal parts orange juice and cranberry juice. Like good versions of both.
Yeah.
Man, they complement each other. I drink that all the time, a version. Like if I've got a jug of cranberry and a jug of orange juice, I'll just mix those together. It's so refreshing.
Cran orange.
Yeah, but then I guess they put vodka. The Madras is those with the vodka. But yeah, cranberry and orange
juice. That does sound like a good drink.
It
I can't believe I have never.
So
I was like, I think that's a tequila sunrise when it's tequila, but all
it's
right.
So tasty.
Um, This is just Sam Thomason says that go back to last month's Q&A submittal and read Duncan McDonald's vet question because it was fucking awesome. The fact that somebody this month is telling us to go read somebody else's question from last month, I will go find that question. But because you said that and threw it over to another cure, we'll answer your question, Sam. Is what if history as we know it has already been meddled with many times by a council of time travelers, and this is the best case scenario they could come up with? Like the Holocaust and 9/11 had to happen for reasons, but they contained it as much as they could. I feel that way. Like certain tragedies have to exist in order to move things forward. Sometimes you got to get dumped by a girl who you think is the love of your life to know what true love really is. And then that's when you're open to it and you meet the person you're supposed to be with afterwards. So I feel, or the fact that the big conundrum of time travel is that if you're in the future, everything that let you get to the future had to happen. So you can't go back and fuck with any of it. That's I forget what paradox that's called. But, you know, it's covered in, you know, it's what they were fighting against in Terminator, but fighting to preserve in Back to the Future. Or, that's the big crux of the time travel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you invent it and you realize you just can't go back, it would have to be locked up like this amazing secret and just, yeah, you can't prevent 9/11 because events that happened because of it, which is kind of like that's the, and then the other side of that conspiracy is that people had made 9/11 happen so they could put those events in order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Gulf of Tonkin, that had to be the provocation to, so we could do Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of knew that Japan, like they had to get, we had to get something to happen to us to enter World War II because nobody wants to enter a war. You know, there's no moral support just to enter a war when nothing's happened to us. So they kind of let, I'm screwing up my facts, but they kind of knew or let Pearl Harbor happen as an impetus to enter World War II. So, yeah, man.
That Gulf of Tonkin, that was complete bullshit, right?
I'm so not educated about it, but the stuff that I have, you know, watched in documentaries or read about has been, they kind of, it was like a provocation.
They fired on us.
Yeah, like as a provocation.
Let's start a war.
Again, like the Owen Benjamin thing. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. Yeah. I'm not touching you.
Yeah.
We're not breaking any rules. We're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, but I'm
but
still going to punch you.
You're being a fucking dick. You're being a shitty person.
Yeah.
Yeah, being shitty just to get somebody, and then the reaction is like, "Oh my god, I can't believe this happened." When you full well knew you were gonna get the response you wanted.
Yeah,
by your inaction,
you just didn't have the balls to go all the way.
Yeah, well, because then you can plausible deniability, and you can it's not my fault because I didn't do anything wrong. So that's a good question. Did you find the one from last month's at all?
Fine. What are you asking?
The Duncan McDonald's. Well, you get a question here, Scott Fulmer, because I'm going to go. I want to find Duncan McDonald's question that Sam Thomason said we should answer because he said because it's fucking awesome. And I like things that are fucking awesome. Dave, you answer this one while I search for that.
All right. What are you asking?
Scott Fulmer, has anyone gotten a boogie monster tattoo yet? Describe your perfect boogie monster tattoo a true fan could get.
That'd be a huge
I don't
compliment.
Want to be responsible. Look at the tattoos I've gotten for myself and use that common sense logic to see if you can get on your body. I did want like a Rat Fink style Bigfoot driving a hot rod UFO, but instead I got my UFO trying to go to the beach.
Yeah.
I do like
that one.
Yeah. Okay. I just woke up. I'm like, I wanted a California tattoo. I was going to get something with a California bear. I still might. It's like, I love it here. I'm like, let's get a UFO going to the beach. So I got that. Are you looking it up?
I'm not looking up anything. I'm sorry.
I'm looking it up. I gotta find this question that was so fucking awesome. But what tattoo? You got two Bigfoot tattoos.
Yeah, I got on my right tricep. I've got Bigfoot as Michelangelo's Vitruvian Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old Vitruvian Man.
Yeah.
Anatomy. I got that, but it's a rad ass Bigfoot. And then on my right forearm, inner forearm, I've got a version of the Patterson Gimlin, the classic Bigfoot taking his stride.
Classic looking over Bigfoot photo.
Faked my ass. That's some real shit. And then I got another one on my bicep that just says BBQ, because I got that one done on a whim, literally 30 seconds notice. That's when we're recording Viceland's Flophouse. And our friend Emily Effler-Bond, who's a great tattoo artist, who actually has done all my other tattoos. She was giving out free tattoos, and they're like, Dave, we want to get a shot of you doing a tattoo. What do you want? And I was like, I don't know. And they're like, you got 30 seconds. Pick something. Make it easy. Something she can do in 20 minutes. I'm like, barbecue?
No, those are the tattoos that will mean more to you later in life than anything. My buddy who's a tattooed artist was talking about like how the people come in and they're going to get one tattoo, but it has it's my baby's footprints.
Yeah.
But it also has my mother's name in front of a sunrise. But it also has Psalm 32. Which I want that script going around the sun like it's a cloud in the sun. I was like, just get 8 different tattoos.
Yeah.
You can't, like, you see somebody gets So. I'm still looking for this thing, Dave. You got to come up with some shit.
What thing are you looking for?
This question. I'm going to find it.
Okay.
Yeah, I just paused it and looked for it.
Okay.
I forgot that instead of, like, listening to people sit here, well, we got our thumbs in our ass trying to scroll through old questions, I could just pause it, find a question. And it is a good question from Duncan McDonald from last month, who got alley-ooped into this month's,
mm-hmm.
2 months later, actually, because it's June, even though they're May, whatever. Duncan McDonald asks, hey, guys, quick question. After the cats and dogs episode, he was thinking, do you think the reason our pets hate going to the vet and hide in weird corners or cower behind furniture in the exam room is because they can see all the ghosts from the animals that are put down? Like, if cats and dogs can be sensitive to seeing that, and then they're in a vet's office where it's just filled with it, not a bad thought.
Hmm.
Not an interesting thought. Personally, I think they can sense energy. you know how, especially dogs, like if someone's bad, they can be like, yeah, fuck this guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Cats know what's up.
Yeah. Cats can be like, oh, this guy's not going to, you know, when kids have nervous energy, like nervous energy sets off an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And not that vets have nerve, but I think it's just palpable that they're there for a, it's not good energy in a vet, which is why you see some vets. I watched that Too Cute series, and
love it.
Now that I don't have cable anymore,
love it.
That was like, of all the things, like high def, 4K, this and that. The only things I wanted it for are Mecum Auto Auctions and Too Cute. And Too Cute never came in.
God damn, I
HD.
Love that show.
I don't know why the fuck they're not playing that in HD. That's a show that is necessary.
I fucking love kittens and I fucking love puppies.
Yeah, Dave. Whoa, Dave. Tequila got a hold of you. He's getting real.
I fucking love kittens, dude.
Put the fuck out of them. You're like aggro, Lenny. I think they could just sense the energy in there, especially that's why they're like, so on Too Cute, a lot of times it'd be like, oh, mama cat at the vet had kittens and they all got adopted except another one. They have animals that hang out in the vet's office.
Yeah.
I think as like a calming sense, maybe tell the other animals like, look, it's chill. I know it's a nervous time here, but also they don't like pet carriers. They get weird about, it's hard to know why. I remember just putting my cat in the car just to sit there, like just mm-hmm. would lose its shit in the car. And I don't know why about that environment. Like, you want to go sit in a box by yourself, but then this other larger enclosed space.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That was a good question from Duncan McDonald. I don't know if it's about the ghost, the ant, but that's a good one. If they could just sense that it's a bad vibe, it's like, it's like people in a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good one. Thank you for sending me back over that way. And all right.
Oh, man. I just spent, while you were talking, I spent a lot of energy looking for the answer to a question.
Yeah.
And now I can't find the damn question.
Well.
Somebody asked me about good Nashville comics. And, man, I love Nashville so much. Mm. I love the city of Nashville. I like the restaurants.
Good town.
I like it. I was born there. I was born in Nashville. Yeah. And, God damn it, now I can't find the damn question. But somebody asked me about good Nashville comics, and this dude opened for me a couple years ago. Just funny as shit. If you're in Nashville and you're looking for comedy, go see Monty Mitchell. Monty Mitchell.
Yeah.
I'm drunk. Monty Mitchell. That's my enunciation was off. Very funny dude. Chad Ryden, kind of the godfather of Nashville comedy. He's a very funny dude. But yeah, a lot of great comics in Nashville.
I can't remember who my guys were that night. I had
Monty Mitchell, just funny as shit. I think there's a guy named Josh Wagner. It was funny as shit. Just a lot of just like unassuming, like, holy shit, you guys are fucking great.
Yeah. I fucked up last time. The openers crushed it for me when I was there in February. And I was walking in the venue and pulled the total dipshit move of like walking in like, all right, show's starting. People are hanging out in front. Like, oh, hey, man. Yeah. Hey, how's it going? Like introducing myself to somebody who had opened for me the last time I was through there. And like, I
do that so much.
I had to apologize, but like, please understand, especially on a tour where like, all right, I'm in a different city every night meeting people that I may or may have not met a year and a half earlier for one night of drinking. Mm-hmm. So my sincerest apologies if I forget.
I'm so bad.
I don't really have the cataloging abilities to remember all the people.
People don't understand.
All the cities.
We go all over. We meet so many people. I only got so much space in this stupid little brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not an insult.
If I could have a hard drive that I could store this stuff on and plug in when I would love to. But yeah, please don't take it as insulting when it happens.
Sam Sherman is who asked that question. He said, moving to Tennessee later this year, want to know what comics I should check out.
Yeah.
And man, and so many good guys came from Tennessee. Nate Bargatze started there, started in Nashville. Billy Wayne Davis started in Nashville. Just a lot of good guys. But yeah, Monty Mitchell still around. Chad Ryden still around. Just a lot of solid. And
that's like
a lot of good shows. Check out Third Coast Comedy Club. That's a good spot.
I was going to say, that's like the third in the line of showbiz cities.
Yeah, yeah.
They do a lot of film and everything down it.
There's a great,
maybe between there and Atlanta.
There's a great scene in David Cross's documentary that he put out 12 years ago, Let America Laugh.
Yeah.
Where it's basically a tour documentary. He's doing a big tour.
Yeah.
And he's in Nashville. And I think he's playing the Exit Inn. I think that's where he played. That's where BR549, all country fans will know BR549. We're the house band of that cool bar. But anyway, and the guy had all these seats, all these chairs put out. And David Cross was like, well, you know, my brand of comedy, I kind of attract. It's more kind of a standing, you know, almost like a rock show.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, look, man, no. I know Nashville. It's right there behind L.A. and New York as far as showbiz cities. He's just bragging. And he's not incorrect, but David Cross is like, yeah, but I also know my audience. And yeah, as a funny documentary, there's the same – the next scene is the same guy who pissed David Cross off, the club owner. And after the show, they're trying to load out and get everybody out. So just to fuck with him, David Cross was in the green room.
Yeah.
And then like the text on the screen said, David is intentionally trying to take as long as he possibly can to load this one poster into his backpack. And the guy's like waiting on him. And then like for 20 minutes, Dave's just like just standing around trying to reorganize his backpack. And the guy's like, God damn it, dude. Come on. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm almost done. But he's doing that just to fuck with
I saw that documentary. If that guy punched David Cross in the face, I'd be on that guy's side.
Yeah, he's
David
a bit of
Cross
a prick.
Sounded like a real – he came off like a real prick in that documentary.
He really did.
Ooh, let's go to this comic book. Let's make fun of these locals.
Yeah, he did come off as a prick.
Fucking weird, like, you know, like – That documentary should be called Punching Down. He was a fucking dick in that documentary.
Yeah, he was. And I liked his comedy, but it was. The overall theme was like, look at these fucking idiots that like me.
My audience likes to stand. No stand-up comedy audience likes to stand. Get That's over true. Yourself.
Yeah.
I've done shows where there's standing. I'm like, guys, thank you for standing. I go out of my way. Like, thank you for making – I know this is a standing thing.
Yeah.
Move side to side. Shake it off. Walk around a little bit. I know it's not the best way to watch comedy. No comedy audience likes to stand. Get over yourself.
The overall theme was kind of look at these fucking idiots that like me. It's like, dude, this is your fan base. Come on.
Yeah.
Don't shit all over them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, making fun of the outsiders while also trying to peg yourself as an outsider.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my thought on that fucking shit.
Oh boy, what else we got?
Travis Hill. Hey guys, what are your thoughts about adding video to the podcast? I know you want to, Dave. I am in flip-flops and I haven't even brushed my teeth yet. And you could probably smell it on a fucking video. So I've had 5 cups of coffee and some of the delicious vegan jerky from, what's his name?
John Stevenson.
Yeah, Louisville.
Louisville dude.
Mm-hmm. That's all I've had today. And I had a wicked shake of psyllium husk, super greens, and some apple cider vinegar.
Ooh.
Like, they're all bad individually. I may as well just put it all in one cup and drink it down.
I've started doing that apple cider vinegar, the shots.
Yeah, man.
What's it doing for us?
It's supposed to be good.
We're putting forth an effort.
I did a thing, and I lost all the questions.
Eli Bueno asks, I know Kyle is a fan of punk. What are his thoughts on Me First and the Gimme Gimmes? You know that band?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I see their I never heard their music, but I see them on posters.
Yeah, they're a punk rock supergroup that just does covers.
Oh, they're a supergroup.
Yeah.
Who are they from?
It's like a Fat Records dude. The big one's Fat Mike from NoFX.
From NoFX.
And I forget, he's like an employee that worked for them that they would go to karaoke, and he's actually a really good singer, so they just started the band. I think that's the story I heard. I love covers. I know everybody hates cover songs or cover bands. I love them, man. Uh-huh. I absolutely love it. I am simple, and like when you go to a bar, I'm like, oh, there's a cover band on. I'm like, all right, maybe they're not going to get the credit for being, but like, oh, it's all the songs I want to hear? I have a great time. When there's a live band at a wedding instead of a DJ, one of the best moves. My buddy got a live, like just a party band that would play around Chicago and had him come out for his wedding. And that way, you don't have to dance with somebody. You could still direct your attention towards the band like it's a concert. Or because it's a wedding, you can't just cut a rug with your special whoever you got with you. I think Me First and the Gimme live, they're pretty sloppy because they're just a party band. But they, like one of their live albums was like Tony's Bar Mitzvah, and it was just recorded as though they were the band at a kid's bar mitzvah. It was funny. Yeah, funny and it's simple and I like it. And yeah.
Pat McCarthy asks, any hangover cures or routines you recommend? I've got a couple.
Fuck.
First of all, coconut water.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the big one.
Drink. I like the little ones that come in the little wax box. Was it Coco Vito Coco or something?
Yeah.
And they make just straight up coconut water, which kind of tastes like dirty sock water.
Yeah.
But they make a pineapple one that I really like.
Yeah.
It's pretty tasty. Drink one of those. The last thing you drink that night, make it that. And the first thing you drink in the morning, drink one of those.
Yeah.
First and last. And then also throw in after you chug that in the morning. When you get up, make yourself a little emergency, a little cup of emergency. And that shit helps. And it could be all placebo effect. I don't know. As far as the emergency, I do know that the coconut water is just loaded with tons of
whatever shit's supposed to be very hydrated.
Yeah, it's nature's Gatorade.
Yeah.
But, man, I've been doing like the few times where it's like I'm getting into it. I'll make sure that I close the night with one of those and open the morning with one of those. And it helps.
Yeah, I don't have any cure-alls. I'll do milk thistle every day. It's supposed to be good for the liver.
What is that?
I don't know.
Hmm.
It's one of just supplements. You can get caught up and reading about, well, this supplement's good for that. And you can get caught up in that world. I do a little bit. I take the milk thistle. It's supposed to be good for your liver. I'm like, I know what I do to my liver, so I take that. We got charcoal pills around here if it's like going to be a real rough night. Charcoal pills supposed to be a good cleaning thing. You're not supposed to take it with other medicine. Don't take any of this as actual medical advice. No, you know who you're listening to. But for me, like if I wake up hungover, unless it's been excruciating, which lately they have been, if I get really lean into it.
Really? I haven't been hungover in a long time.
Oh, I lost a day and a half to a hangover.
What a couple weeks ago you went to see...
I saw Smoking Popes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just... Oh. But I'll just be like, no, man, you did this.
Yeah.
You don't get an easy way out. You pay the debt. I don't know if that's being raised Catholic or Midwest, but like, no shortcuts, man.
Yeah.
You did this. You made your bed, you lie in it. So I'll take milk. I'll take things like take care of my organs, take my milk thistle and this and that. But like ibuprofen, like, no, dude, unless I have something to do where I have to try and function, I'm like just chugging water.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, too. I do a lot of preventative maintenance. Yeah. You know? If I know I'm getting into it, I'll make sure I have water along the way. And like I said, I'll close it out with a with a coconut water. Lee Singleton asked, Dave, how far in advance should one contact you for lunch at Howling Rays? I don't know. 10 minutes? I'll be there.
Did he put the G on it? Howling Rays?
Yeah, Howling Rays. It's Howling. We dropped the G's.
But, I can't wait to.
I'll fucking eat some Howling Rays with you, Lee. Just holler at your boy. I'm there. Just throw it. It's like the goddamn bat signal.
Well, and why don't we just answer Sean Devlin's question? Kyle, Dave, what's your favorite sandwich in America and why?
That right there is absolutely my favorite sandwich.
Howling Rays, yeah.
It's the best sandwich there is. Not just the best chicken sandwich.
No,
it's
man.
The best sandwich.
That bet. Yeah.
No hyperbole.
Yes. I'm sitting there. I've had it once. Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And just to recap, here we go.
Tell them what's up.
All right, if you've had a Chick-fil-A, classic Chick-fil-A sandwich, it's like that, but on steroids. It's a chicken breast, boneless chicken breast, that's about twice the size that it should be. It's gigantic. And they will do the Nashville hot chicken spice, one of six levels of spice, starting at zero, which is country, which is no spice, all the way up to, I forgot what it was, but you basically almost have to sign a waiver. I go for medium. I go for the third one.
Yeah.
I go for medium. And then the bun, bakery fresh, nice, soft, squishy bun. They put a vinegar coleslaw on top, not a mayonnaise base, but a vinegar based regular cabbage and red cabbage tossed in some vinegar solution. Very good. And then they have what they call comeback sauce on the bottom, basically a garlic aioli, garlic infused mayonnaise. And it's
about that piece of chicken.
The jam. It is so good.
I got we went there and I got the chicken, then I got one wing of the.
You got the hot.
I was going to get four. Give me extra hot. That's the one before the Howling hot.
Yeah, yeah, that's number.
I'm like, give me extra hot. And the guy was so clear about, just to let you know, we use four of the hottest peppers in existence to make that one and this. That's going to take you out for about 12 hours. The hot's going to take you out for about 4 hours. I'm like, oh, I've never been scared off. And I was like, all right, just give me one wing of just hot. Mm-hmm. And I was panting the whole way home.
It's intense. I've done that.
I was doing that sweating and kind of shifting in your seat. Like you think moving your whole body is going to make your mouth feel better. I almost did that to the sandwich. I'm glad I didn't get a medium.
It is so good. I can't describe how good it is. And it is worth the wait. Now they've extended their hours to 7. And ooh, they've added a second cashier station. So the lines are moving a lot faster now. By the way, update. Lot faster lines.
Really?
Yeah. Used to they were 11 to 4, and just any time of day you're going to wait at least an hour. An hour was you getting off light. Sometimes, and I follow them on Twitter, and they're always putting their line updates. Yeah. They're like, sorry guys, 2.5 hour wait right now. Sometimes I've seen 3 hours, but now because they've extended their hours, they've added another cashier. They're in lunch rush. They're like 45 minutes, 30 minutes.
I was very outspoken about my thoughts on waiting in line for food, and then I did it, and I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, an hour? That's it? Like that. Now, they made me revalue what an hour of my life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like an hour of food, an hour for Howling Rays? Oh, yeah, that hour wasn't going to be important. I can wait that hour.
And because I'm a good friend, now when I go, and I'll invite you, I'll invite Singer, me and Fritz go a lot, but I'll go, hey, man, doing Howling Rays tomorrow. I'm going to get there at noon.
Yeah.
You show up at 1:15, and I'll hold your spot. That way, my buddy's only got to wait 10, 15 minutes.
But I think if it's with one person, but I wouldn't fly the flag about all right, I'm camping, because then you got five. What if you got five people come in?
Tough shit.
Everybody else waited in line. Everybody else paid their dues.
So what? Oh, now the guy behind me's got to wait an extra 45 seconds. An extra 2 minutes.
For five people?
Yeah, it moves. Yeah. Yeah. And I have thought about that.
What if five people in front of you all told five friends to come? Now you got 25 more people in line in front of you.
Well, that's true.
That's just like I'll pay the price. I'll get there and wait for it.
But I've never invited five people. I've never given five people that offer. One or two. You know.
But if somebody did that, if somebody's in front of you and you were right about to eat, you've been waiting an hour, and then five people showed up. Right in that spot in line, before you.
It's another 2 minutes.
Five people is going to be 2 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah, 30, 45 seconds apiece. Just boom, boom, boom. You know, the problem
you got
is
five
just
people,
so many
people. Then sitting there going, but what if, nah, man, I don't think that's cool. I don't think it's cool, man.
Well,
I'm going to start giving, well, this. You're going to order like how you board a Southwest flight.
You've benefited from that before.
I went there.
But I was already in line for a while.
There was nobody behind you.
Really? Oh, yeah. You got in from the get-go?
Yeah. I sat there. We were back in the courtyard area of that line.
Okay. It's Fritz and Singer that always benefit.
Of course.
Fritz showed up last time. I timed it perfectly. He had to wait like 5 minutes. And he's like, thanks, man. It's like, yeah, I've been here an hour and a half.
Yeah, Fritz has he's got a busy schedule. Jay Jensen asks, dear Dave and Kyle, what is your stance on knocking on a public bathroom, possibly stall door? I mean, if it's been a good enough amount of time, do you think it's rude to knock to quicken their pace? Street Justice Dave ought to have the right plan of attack for dealing with Camp Poopsville at my work.
I see both sides of that coin. You'd like to think that no one's in there just hanging out. If he's still in there, then that means he's doing his business.
Everybody's got a phone. You forget. You let your legs go numb because you're reading something.
That's true.
I'll throw a little heat on it.
Yeah.
Like if I saw somebody go in, like, all right, 5 minutes, and it's a public place, and it's a onesie.
Yeah.
It's a one server.
Yeah.
I'll do the handle like, oh, maybe somebody didn't realize it was locked. That's a better way to do it. If it's a stall door, it's hard because you could see. And that's where I'd be like, I'll say something. I don't give a shit, man.
You know what I love doing? This is fun. Anybody could do this. It's so fun. Next time you're in there taking a deuce and somebody knocks on the door, just go, come in.
Who is it?
No, I just like, come in.
Yeah. You're going to get your dick sucked. That's going to backfire. You're going to get your dick sucked.
It's so much fun because then they don't know how to respond. Come on in, buddy. How you doing? Just sitting there, pants around my ankles.
If it's only a stall, like I'm trying to think of my situation when I've been in there, because I'll camp out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But like if it's a workplace, mm-hmm. or you know, like if it's one stall and like maybe a toilet and a urinal in a men's room,
mm-hmm.
and I see feet come in there. And they don't like, okay, yeah, you need the stall. And I can get up, like, okay. Like, sometimes you try to wait for round two.
Yeah.
You know, let me try and get it all out while I can.
Uh-huh.
But I have it like, all right. And yeah, that's just decency, mm-hmm. you know. Give somebody, especially if it's a work thing. If it's a door, I always like to rattle the handle. Or even if it's a stall. Act like you didn't see anybody in the stall, but go on, push on it. Or get your feet right up in there so they see your feet in front of it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they're going to know your shoes. So if they want to have a conflict later, it's a workplace, and they're going to know your shoes,
mm-hmm.
be like, yeah, man, I had to take a shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't know. I didn't want to peek through the crack like a creep.
Mm-hmm.
So I just rattled the door to see if it was locked.
You ever seen anybody? I've seen this a couple times in the stall, and somebody's so self-conscious when they're in there taking a shit. They will take a long thing of toilet paper and place it over the gap.
I've never seen
that. I've seen that a few times. Who's in there like, I gotta see what you're doing?
I've never seen that.
Yeah, I've seen people like so self-conscious. Just, you know, that little one-inch gap between the base and the door.
Fuck that. I'll make eye contact because I'm always looking through there. If I'm not looking at my phone, if somebody's in there, I'm looking. Like, so I want to catch them. When I know they're looking in, I'm like, yeah, gotcha. I see you too, motherfucker.
Oh, God, that's funny. Jake Rivera says, hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Jake. That's a good one. Good one, Jake. I like it. I get what you're doing.
Oh, that's the one that he screwed up. I saw that too, yeah.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jake. Scott Fulmer asks, has anyone gotten a... Oh, you already asked that one. Boogie Monster Tattoo.
Boy.
Sorry about that.
Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
I'm just fucking... I don't know what's going on.
Guy Incognito. Since the Confederate flag has been adopted by white supremacists and other assorted rump roasts. That's a good insult. Rump. Look at this rump roast. Good one. Would Street Justice Dave support his biscuit as the new symbol of Southern pride?
What was the... First part
since
of that question.
Since the Confederate flag is all for rump roast now.
Dude.
Racist rump roast.
not to get too inside baseball, but I wrote a pilot where one of the storylines was we replaced the Confederate flag with a flag of a biscuit.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Great mindset.
I think Guy Incognito has his answer right there.
Yeah, seriously. That was one of the storylines where, like, it was set at a flea market, and somebody was selling, you know, you go to a flea market in the South, it's going to be a lot of Confederate flag paraphernalia. And one of the storylines involves somebody repurposing the Confederate flag with a biscuit. Oh, Jake Rivera, I'm sorry, he does have a question. I guess he stopped and started. Have either of you guys shit yourself as a grown adult person? It's surprisingly easy to do when alcohol and fast food are involved. Mm-hmm. P.S. Us janitors love you guys found food stories, as we're also degenerates that eat what we find. I was talking about this with somebody the other day. I have never shit my pants. I got a sphincter like a goddamn bear trap.
You never just...
No.
Had a, you know...
Nope. I have never shit my... I've had some close calls.
Thought you were going to have a blank.
Never.
It was a real round.
Yeah, I haven't sharded. Haven't done any of that. Never shit myself.
Oh, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always...
What a bummer. What a bummer it must be.
Yeah, it'll ruin your day.
You're out doing your thing and you just... Now you got shit in your pants?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I mean... Try and clean it up in the bathroom.
Hmm. How many times you done that?
Every couple months.
Every couple months?
Just like a wet fart, you know?
Now, I did shit myself in second grade. Yeah, shit all over myself in second grade and didn't do anything about it. Just kept it in there. This was like 10 in the morning. And then I remember for some reason, the back of our classroom, we had a cardboard log cabin that we had made as a class, like a giant look. I mean, it was like the size of like a tool shed now. Mm-hmm. And then like, I don't know, if you're good, you get to go in there and read in the reading cabin. And I was in the reading cabin with just a couple other people. And a girl was like,
I like how you called other second graders people.
Yeah. Other people. But a girl was on to me. Some little girl was like, making the sin and looked at me. And we had a foreign exchange student who was from Ecuador. I don't know why I remember he was from Ecuador. And as a second grader, this girl like had pegged me. It's like, oh, she didn't say it, but she looked at me like, did you shit your pants? And I just gave the thumb over, like,
you blamed it on the Ecuadorian kid.
Manuel did it. I just gave the thumbs over like, yeah, this fucking,
what a fucking move,
piece
Dave.
Of shit, man.
Way to go, Dave.
And then I I had shit my pants all day. And I don't know why I remember this detail.
What do you mean you shit your pants all day?
I mean, I shit myself at like 10 in the morning.
Okay, you weren't just shitting all day.
No. But I had shit in my pants all day.
Okay, yeah, all right. Sure.
So I kept it in there all day. I don't know why I didn't go to the bathroom and try to fix it. But I just walked around with shit in my pants all day. And I got off the bus to go home. And I remember like, oh, I got to go take care of this. But I stopped and checked the mail. And my Atlanta Braves clubhouse catalog had come. And I was like, oh, well, at least this is good. At least I finally got my Atlanta Braves clubhouse catalog. So now I can order a T-shirt, Atlanta Braves T-shirt. But I remember that was the same
order
day.
Order some new underpants.
I shit myself. And I blamed it on the Ecuadorian kid. But as an adult, poop free.
Well, aren't you just so goddamn lucky?
Yeah.
your horrible attitude paid off.
Oh, good.
I shit my pants, like hot farted. One of my first jobs in L.A. And the day before, like a hooded sweatshirt where it wasn't a zip up. It was a pullover, so the pocket was continual.
Yeah.
And to this day, like I know I don't ever put shit in those pockets when you're going pee because stuff just fall out of it real easy.
Uh-huh.
And I think I was hungover, so I was like had my hand on the wall peeing in the toilet and my phone fell out and fell into the toilet. So I ruined my phone that day. And then the next day, driving to work, hungover again because I was drinking all the time. I hot farted in my pants on the way to work and like just fucking just, you know, a ladle, a gravy ladled.
Ugh.
And but then couldn't call in sick because I dropped my phone in the toilet. So I had to go to work and then get there and then just sit there in my shit pants until my boss is like, you don't look like you're feeling too well. I'm like, I'm not at all. But not for the reasons he thought. And then I went home.
You didn't go in and be like, hey, I'm here because my phone's fucked, but I got to go.
No, because I was so worried about like losing a job.
Mm.
And that was just one instance.
Wow.
It happens all the time. Anyway, boy, we got a lot of questions answered.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of questions. Marcus Fairbrother, dudes, if you guys could host a dinner party with your respective ladies and invite any 6 to 10 guests from the past or present, human, cryptid, alien, supernatural, or otherwise, who/what would they be? And Dave, what would you serve? These questions always make me think too much.
Yeah. We don't have to answer it.
I mean, it's not a bad question.
Well, the dinner party question, you know.
Well, who would you like to have dinner with? Dead or alive?
I don't know,
I've heard
man.
Versions of this where they're like, so-and-so, dead.
Yeah. I don't know. I watched the Prince video. I was watching Prince videos the other day because I was missing Prince. And I think Prince would be a fun guy.
Yeah, he's like a fun dude.
Probably wouldn't eat a lot.
I'd like to have dinner with Bo Jackson. He's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Best athlete.
Probably around. Could help you cook, too.
Yeah.
He knows everything to do.
Oh, Bo.
What? Yeah.
I never put celebrities too far up on a pedestal. You smell something? Did you shit your pants again?
No, I didn't shit my pants. That was like a banging around. Man, we're both. I'm strung out on caffeine. You're drunk. It's 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of tequila and LaCroix. 2:30 in the afternoon.
Who is? I think this is weird. I would like to invite my grandfather who passed away right after I was born because my cousin said he was pretty fun. Although my mother and her sisters have different stories about him.
Oh. You want to elaborate?
No.
No.
But, you want to meet your relatives. Curious about that.
Yeah, I had no grandparents on my father's side. They died when my dad was kind of an orphan.
My name was supposed to be Bruno after my grandfather because he died 3 days after I was born.
Bruno Canane.
Yeah. And then my mom was like, I couldn't imagine a child being named, I couldn't imagine calling a baby Bruno. I'm like, you know, I would grow up. But I think maybe she didn't want to have that name in her house.
Bruno.
She might not want to have that name in the house. So...
Oh, man. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, well, let's do a fun one because I felt like a little thing on that one. Little something going on.
Uncle Barbecue and Street Justice Dave, I'm planning on moving to L.A. to get involved in audio post-production. What would be some good and cheap neighborhoods to check out for an apartment, says Burley Gates. The Valley's always kind of cheap.
Valley's people are going to knock the Valley. It depends if you work in Hollywood or interning or doing whatever in Hollywood, and then you got to commute. It could be a real motherfucker. Mm-hmm. But people knock the Valley. I like a lot of the Valley.
I got no problem with the Valley.
It might be a little bit, bleak, but I dig Burbank a whole bunch.
Love Burbank.
Burbank, Toluca Lake, Studio City. Your apartments are going to be wildly cheaper over there than they would be in Hollywood.
North Hollywood's fairly
cheap. North Hollywood, yeah. And there's some bars and stuff if you want to drink, a little bit of nightlife. And especially if you live in North Hollywood, you could take the Red Line train right into Hollywood and to downtown if you want to.
Yeah.
Everybody else is moving out to Highland Park.
I like Highland Park. I like Eagle Rock.
Yeah. Those places got so hip so quick. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole neighborhood got a sleeve tattoo overnight. I'm like, all right, too much. I was driving through there one night and there was like a DJ in front of a artisanal ice cream parlor, like on the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. I was like, you too much, man. You guys jumped the shark real quick over on York Boulevard there. Mm-hmm. But that's over there. Santa Monica is going to be expensive. Hollywood, if you find a place that's affordable in Hollywood, it is going to be a real crappy place. Mm-hmm. So be wary of that. There's some real shady spots in Hollywood. And it's like having a tourist part of your, and I know I live closer to it now than I've ever lived, but it's like living near the tourist part of your own hometown. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh, I live right in Hollywood. Nobody goes in Hollywood. You go to the neighborhoods you like. Hollywood nobody hangs out sucks. Really in Hollywood.
Yeah.
There's bars that I like down there, but even living closer to it, I don't. There's a lot of creeps. A lot of creeps out there.
All right, one last one here. I found a good one. Andarum Martin. It's all one word. I don't.
All right, sure.
I'm missing something. Dave, what's your earliest street justice memory or just some early tales of vigilantism? Man, I have not thought of this story in a long time, but this is 100% true. Anybody see me recently? I do a bit where I talk about being a loss prevention officer at Ingles Grocery Store. And most of my shit is very autobiographical and factual and truthful. I do lie in that bit in the sense where I say it was my only bust. I tell a story about how I busted a mentally challenged kid. Was not my only bust. I made one other bust, and I haven't figured out how to make this funny because a lot of my shit. I've had a very colorful life, and a lot of my shit sounds very, laced with hyperbole and exaggeration. So I never figured out how to make this funny. But I got stabbed doing that job.
At
the grocery store. I was 19. I was working at Ingles Grocery Store in Canton, Georgia. That was the home base. They would move me around. Every few weeks, I'd move around. I worked at six different Ingles Grocery Stores. Yeah. So every couple weeks, they'd move me around. And I got moved over to Ackworth, Georgia, and caught a dude stealing steaks. And he had put a few
steak in the pants.
Put a few ribeye steaks in his pants, and I saw the whole thing, and I followed him out. You know, the thing was back then was like you gotta they can't get arrested for it if you bust them inside the store. You gotta wait till they get outside the store.
Oh,
so followed a guy on the sidewalk, and it was a black dude. He's probably about 50. He's kind of not to pass judgment, but he looked like a haggard, maybe problems with alcohol, just kind of a beaten down. Withered, haggard, little diminutive black fella. And I just said, "Hey, man, you know why I'm here. I know you got those steaks in your pants." Mm-hmm. And that dude pulled a knife on me.
Uh-oh.
And when he pulled, he had a fucking butterfly knife, one of those flip-floppity butterfly knives. He didn't do the flip-floppity thing.
Impractical.
Yeah. Looks like something he got at a fucking flea market. And he pulled the knife on me. And I go, "All right, you win. Go ahead. Yeah. It ain't those fucking ribeyes ain't worth me getting hurt for."
Yeah.
And I even put my hands up and I said, "Hey, man, all right, if you're going to play that card, you win. Get along. Go on." And he wouldn't leave. And once he realized that he had won, he was kind of basking in it. And he was like, you know, and I'm like, "Dude.
Yeah.
I'm just doing my job. I ain't trying to get cut.
Yeah.
It's fucking $10 worth of steak. Get the fuck out of here." Had my hands up, and he wouldn't leave, and he kept getting closer and closer. And the dude lunged at me. And he was talking some shit, and he lunged at me, and he stabbed me just when I say stab, but he poked me. Yeah. Fortunately, he didn't give a full on stab.
Yeah.
But like he made contact and he cut me. I was fine, but he cut me right in the gut.
Yeah.
And right when he cut me, I grabbed both of my hands locked onto the wrist of his thing.
Yeah, okay.
And I broke the dude's wrist. This is back when I don't want to sound like I'm not a tough guy. I'm not a martial artist, but I did used to take martial arts for like 3 years.
Yeah.
I took a form called Shotokan, which was very, in layman's term, it was very Steven Seagal-esque. It was a lot of bone breaks. It really was a very practical form of martial arts.
Yeah.
It wasn't a lot of kicking and flipping. It was a lot of wrist holds and choke holds and arm bars and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed on. He stabbed me simultaneously. He made contact. And I locked onto both his both my hands locked onto his one wrist. And I just torqued his fucking wrist. And I snapped his fucking wrist. And he's fucking screaming.
Yeah, well.
And then I carried handcuffs. And I cuffed his fucking broken, dangly-ass wrist to his other wrist. And the manager was out there. And he called the cops. And the cops came. But not a tough guy story. But, broke the fuck out of that dude's wrist. That was my first vigilante story.
That's a good closer.
And I wasn't trying to be. I told him. I was like, "You win. Go. Please leave. I'm not trying to fight you or get cut over a goddamn pack of ribeyes."
He wanted to taste the danger.
I think he was drunk.
It bit him back.
And he pierced me and didn't require stitches or anything. But snapped that motherfucker.
Tetanus shot. You don't know where that knife's been.
Snapped his feeble-ass wrist. And
butterfly knives are for drug dealers to open up a bag of coke to test the quality, and for seventh graders to impress each other. Mm-hmm. There's no other use for those knives.
Yeah. And I don't know why he didn't just fucking leave. I gave him every chance to leave. But I don't know if the adrenaline or something, but he was he was in the moment. And there was like this weird little standoff. And finally he just lunged at me.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah.
I once I locked hold of his wrist, I was like, well, goddamn it. Game over, dude.
I agree that that should happen.
So, yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Well, that's a good street justice story. That was worth $4.
Yeah.
They fought a guy with a knife and won. That's worth four. I'd give you $4 for that myself.
Yeah.
All right.
So, there we go. All right, guys. Thank you so much again. Sincerely, we appreciate the support. Kyle doesn't need your money, but I need your money.
I need everybody's money. That's how I got to this point. I need everybody's money. I told you, man. I'm over my punk shit. I'm in my rap game now. I'm trying to get paid. Trying to live lavishly and irresponsibly now. That's where I'm at. No more of this humble $5 shit.
Oh,
tickets
man.
Are $80 each for shows.
But yeah, thanks for the support. Dave's Kitchen coming out soon. Do those every month as well. So yeah.
Buy tennis bracelets for my girl. Starting to wear chains.
You buy a tennis bracelet for Rachel?
No.
No?
Okay. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to act like I'm spending their money on frivolous shit.
It'd be funny if you just started blinging out. Like you just start showing up with all this weird
jewelry. I'm trying to be a jewelry guy. Not nice jewelry, but I'm trying to be a ring guy.
Yeah. I remember when you got your, I don't know if it was your first earring, but you.
I had my ears pierced 20 years ago. Okay. I had gauges in there and stuff.
But I'd never seen you wear an earring till we were in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And you bought an earring at the, I think at the airport or something. We were somewhere.
I bought a ring. Not an earring. I bought a ring for my finger.
Oh, okay.
I bought a pinky ring, yeah.
A pinky ring. That's
you
what
gotta
it
have
was.
Big. You got to have big, fat Dago hands to wear pinky rings. And I got these long. My mom was like, oh, you have the hands for a piano player. I'm like, yes, feminine hands, Mom. I have hands like a woman. So a pinky ring on me just looks foolish. But you got big, fat, like, mafia hands with a gold pinky ring. Even on, like, it looks cool to me now. Like, my tastes are changing. Like, a pinky ring looks cool.
Yeah.
I want to be that guy. I'm trying to wear it. I'm trying, like, big skull rings on a big biker dude. But if I put a skull ring, my hands are dainty. So rings are just, I can't get a big ring because they don't fit. And so I'm trying to be a guy that wears rings. Maybe I'll wear some rings tonight. I have. I'm going to put some jewelry on. Be a guy that does that.
Put on some jewelry and I steal
skull ring.
I want you so bad to just get a toupee. Just have some fun.
I was talking about that with somebody else.
That was so funny, dude.
Yeah, man, start rocking a toupee.
Like what style would you get? Do you know?
Not outlandish, like just like hair. Like I would wear it just like I have hair now.
But like, see, I'm growing it out. I got kind of a floppy thing going.
Yeah.
Would you keep it tight or would you have like floppy?
Man, if I'm going to go into that world, like I don't know. I was talking with somebody yesterday about like you can get plugs now. You can get like legit good looking plugs.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't ever try and pass it off as real hair. Like, yeah, I got stuff worked.
That's
like,
the beauty.
There's nothing better. Like when a woman gets fake boobs and like, look at it. Paid for these.
Yeah.
Like, good. Yeah. Go out there and like, don't act like, oh, nobody. Like, yeah. I always wanted big tits and I went and got big tits finally. Like, live your life. Absolutely. There's no shame in that. Live your life.
Yeah, man.
So.
Please get a toupee.
I don't know, man.
George Costanza, that shit.
But then I think about the extra maintenance I haven't had to worry about doing anything with my hair other than just shaving it every couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. It's like, dudes that, like, their hair's falling out and they're, like later in life and you realize they're panicking because that's been part of their look and their personality. Uh-huh. I'm so glad that if my hair was going to fall out, it fell out in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I was already shaving my head anyway, that it wasn't this. It's like how guys can't shave their beard now. Like, oh, it's part of my personality.
Yeah.
What if your beard just started falling out and be like, oh, but my character.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't mean this to be like a derogatory question, but do you use shampoo or do you just use like soap? Just hit it real quick or like
on my head?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I'll do like face skin stuff and so
just throw that up there.
Yeah, my whole head.
Yeah.
So I still get, if I wear hats a lot, I get all blemishes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right on, buddy.
Yeah, okay. That's what you... Nobody asked that question. Could have done that one off air.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Thank you so much for all the questions. We'll see you soon.
It's
Dave and Kyle.
Thanks for your money, suckers.
There's your Q&A, dipshits.
No, I'll say it because I'm the villain. You're the one who's appreciate. You're the nice guy.
That's true. That's
just, and I'm like, give me your money.
Being mean for no reason.
You kiss asses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you did it. Now people are going to be like, fuck you. Go live in your van again.
Appreciate you guys.
See, there they go. Okay.
Thanks a lot. The Boogie Monster.